Broadcasting from the home of the Dodgers.
At the proud Dodger flagship station, we can't
wait. Oh, a home run.
This is the Petros and Money Show. With Petros Papadakis.
I brought my goggles.
And Matt Money Smith.
The voice of your
Chargers.
Listen on your mobile device using our free iHeartRadio app.
Dumbass.
Frogman.
Okay, second down and nine. Okay, second down and nine.
Muy hombre, a lot of men.
My bad.
That's my mom, dude. My mom's a pimp.
We cannot make decisions that cost the team and then come off the sideline and it's nonchalant.
Now, you want to apologize to him?
No.
You got Mr. Personality here on the phone.
No more Endo, gin and juice. I'm on my way to Chino, rolling in the Grey Goose.
Petros and Money on AM570 LA Sports. We are your home of NFL football.
That's right. We got the Rams.
We got the Rams-Saints NFC Championship game on Sunday, kickoff at noon, and we are your home for Super Bowl 53. One of those two teams will represent the NFC in that championship-level contest. And one of the two teams playing in an Arctic blast in Kansas City.
When I say Arctic, you say blast. Arctic blast. Arctic blast.
The Chiefs of the Patriots will represent the AFC as we are your home of Super Bowl 53. I like those. Pardon my take, guys. Big Cat. PFT
sure
commenter.
You do, Matt. You love it. You love all the F-bombs they dropped and how cavalier they are when they talk.
They brought up, I think, what is a great point, and that is while technology, and you know I love technology.
You do, Matt. You are
a
big proponent of everything brand new.
But when you're watching.
You want everything old thrown into the sea.
The Colts and the Chiefs playing a game in which the exterior shots are showing cars with a foot of snow on top of them.
Yes. And there is nobody supporting Mike Tirico's pregame show standing in front of a heater. Literally nobody.
And now we have these.
They tried to do like a walk through the fans into the stadium, and it was not obstructed by any fans.
That's unfortunate.
For it was an empty parking lot of a frigid, frigid, frigid city.
But when we're getting the external shots and the shot from on top of Arrowhead, where you can see it's a blanket of snow coming down. And there should be a foot of snow on the ground. But now that we have all these fancy fields with heat coils underneath them to melt all the snow, and we've got a perfect field of green grass, that's BS. That should have been a snow game. There should have been a foot of snow on that ground. It should have looked like that Buffalo game with LeSean McCoy running into freaking snow drifts. There should have been a plow that had to clear a yard line.
Oh,
for a kick.
So you don't like the technology.
I don't like the heat coils in the field. That's BS. If it's a snow game, it should be an effing snow
that's
game.
That's why God is punishing Kansas City. The football gods are punishing them with this Arctic blast, saying, hey, your coils cannot stand
they're
up
able to, take this blast.
To this giant Arctic
I
blast.
I hope they can't. I want to see a damn snow game. I want to see dudes ankles deep in powder trying to figure out how the hell to get their footing when somehow a running back is able to make a single cutback and the entire team slides.
Everybody
to a
goes
sideline.
The other way.
That's what I want to see.
Well, they really over-pursued that. You know, I don't know if it was over-pursued.
I think it might have been the ground there.
To me, it was more like they all seemed like they were on the conveyor belt from the Jamiroquai video. It'll be a very, I want Tom Coughlin's face to look like a chapped lip.
Exactly right.
You know, but you're right, Matt. You're right. Wednesday, we'll blast ourselves down the 10 and join us live.
Bittersweet.
3 to 6:30. More sweet than bitter.
Bitter than sweet.
Bitter than sweet. Are we bitter to be going out to West Covina?
No.
No way.
Cases.
Stop by to win your tickets to see Clippers Warriors. I'm no longer mentioning the high five line in the promo.
Why? High five.
Just not going to do it anymore. That's BJ's restaurant at Brew House.
Pick your random nondescript Clipper that you get the high five.
Graham, or excuse me, Harrell.
Montrezl Harrell.
Not Graham Harrell, Montrezl Harrell. Graham Harrell flirting with USC as the OC. You can't get Kingsbury, just get another one of those Texas Tech guys.
At what age is it awkward that a grown man is standing in the line to fist bump another guy?
13.
I can tell you that I did it in my 20s because I had to present the game ball to the ref, you know, back in the 15-40 days. the Korean station.
And they were like, at the Clipper station.
Yeah, and they were like, no, we weren't.
You weren't?
No, they were on somewhere else. But they were like, come on over and high five the team. You know, you're in the high. And I was like, do I have to? They're like, oh no, it's customary. It's part of the game ball experience. And I was like, feel kind of weird high fiving Elton Brand here.
Hey, Megs, high five. Q.
Q Dog. We will be there Wednesday at BJ's.
D Miles, yeah.
Oh, I love him. D Miles was not there. Stop by for your chance to win tickets to the Clippers Warriors game. Kloss was not there.
Damn it.
Daniel Ewing was.
Yeah. Come on, Daniel, just close out.
Stop!
Close out on the three.
It's BJ's Restaurant and Brew House in beautiful West Covina. And we will see you there on Wednesday. A PMS makeup remote.
High five.
That you do not want to miss. Stop it! And after Matt's done
just
with the...
Just because you had a bad experience in the high five line doesn't mean the listener of the grand...
It's awkward.
I really have to do this. Yes. Yes, you do, sir. You're delivering the game ball. You have to high five the team.
I've delivered the game ball at the Pyramid, too, for Coach Monson's team at Long Beach State, and I was not required to high five the 49ers in that game, and I was much happier with that game ball delivery experience than I was with the previous one.
Well, yeah, but as soon as you delivered the game ball, you walked up the stairs and out of the Pyramid to your car and drove home.
I drove to Joe Jost.
Exactly. There you go.
Do you go high five up top, or do you go like to the side?
I tried to keep it real low and understated.
Because the guys don't want to go up. They just want to,
they just
to the side.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I want to extend my arm as far as it'll go.
Guys.
Just get it way up there.
This is unnecessary.
Fist bump, and then you got awkward fist bump. High five, fist
bump,
high five.
This is totally unnecessary.
High five.
Guys.
Milosh!
A big thank you to Anthony Lynn, Eric Sondheimer. We still have Sam Amick and Mark Schlereth to come as guests on our show, and you can podcast those.
Toby, come down low. Come on, give me.
Who's a 7'2" guy? It's really big.
Boban.
Boban.
Down low, Boban.
Down low, Boban.
Boban, can we do one of those dances, choreograph something for before the game? AM570LASports.com/PMS if you want to podcast the show or the great iHeartRadio app. For your smartphone is also a very easy
You can
easy
do like
way.
The Joe Myers
you better
used to
stop.
Do on the Laker plane
oh,
when
stop.
All the players would walk on and he would greet them all with, yeah, here he comes. He's the glue.
There
it's
he is.
LeBron.
Look
all
at
right.
him. Look
here
at
he
him.
Here he comes. KB, what a game. What a game, KB. Oh, the muscle. It's the muscle. DJ Mbenga. Here he comes, muscle man.
Speaking of Joe Myers, Joel is in town. Clippers tonight at 6:30 taking on the Pelicans, and Joel Myers is the play-by-play guy for the Pelicans, and Matt and I cannot let Joel go.
Nope. Why would we? Oh, my God.
He's on TV right now.
You know, I used to work for the Spurs. I had a condo right over there. Beautiful neighborhood. A professional organization, top to bottom. Top to bottom. You want to know why they're successful. That's why. Top to bottom. It all starts at the top, trickles down.
You know why Matt's doing this, Myers? He doesn't want to talk about the fist that was the Patriots that punched the lightning bolt.
Oh, I didn't even do a top story on that. I didn't even do a top story
it's
on
time
that.
For the top story of the day.
Top story of the day.
Didn't even do it. Didn't even do it.
What did you do?
Lakers! Yeah!
Oh, yeah! Luke Watch!
We got Luke Watch to get to, Pete.
Yeah, we had Anthony Lynn. He told us all about the Chargers.
He's our guy.
Luke Watch.
Did you see the video? You did, because I asked the question an hour ago. The viral video of super angry / anxious / disappointed Rob Pelinka alone in the tunnel.
Pacing. Like a cartoon.
By himself. In his $10,000 custom suit with his $20,000 worth of scalpel-free cosmetic surgery.
Matt.
What?
He takes a few injections in his forehead and you're going to
indict
the man?
That is tight. Hairline's weird.
There's a lot of people with tight skin. We call out Pelinka quite a lot here.
He looks weird. You know he looks weird. And I don't like what I'm hearing out of that Lakers camp.
You don't like the Luke watch?
I don't
Luke,
like.
He is our
exactly
future.
Right.
He's our guy.
Sam Amick's going to tell us.
I think I speak for both of us when I say we're pro-Luke. We are team Luke Walton at the Petros and Money Show. If we got to pick sides, we're picking Luke's side in this.
I would, yes.
No question.
But these are his bosses, so we're always fight the power.
Certainly.
But there is one incident that I would like to go on record if we're going to be pro-Luke in this.
Pro-Luke.
If we're both jumping over to that side. When Luke Watch is prevalent, they lost to Cleveland.
Luke, he is our future. He's our guy.
You may want to have your guys ready to play a game against a team that's lost 12 in a row and is playing defense at historically, and when I say that, I'm not embellishing, historically poor proportions in all of NBA history.
Well, I think a dozen straight is what they'd lost.
They lost 12 straight.
I think nine was what the Knicks lost, and they ended up breaking that streak with the Lakers. So if we're going full anti-Luke,
we're going pro-Luke.
Or full pro-Luke.
Anti-Palinka.
Anti-Palinka. I do just want to tell one small anti-Luke story before we move forward so you guys know.
I got to do this.
Because I think cards on the table face up. Because, Matt, there's a lot of outrage archaeologists nowadays, aren't there?
There are.
There's a lot of people that go back and
try
to find out what you said.
What did you tweet?
What did you say about the Chargers before they hired you? What did you say about USC before you called that game?
What is this meme of a catapult launching a cat? What's wrong with you? You can't work here. What? I thought it was funny. It was 10 years ago. What's wrong with that?
What'd you say about Tebow? What'd you say about
LeBron?
Clay?
What'd you say about LeBron?
What'd you say about Cliff Kingsbury?
Yeah.
I heard what you said. You can never go back. I mean, there's so many outrage archaeologists out there. There was a long time ago back before I was married and had children, that I was at a concert. And at that concert, Luke Walton was there. And it was back in the days where I would actually call Matt instead of just text him. And I called him and was like, hey, Luke Walton's here at the Black Keys show. Just thought Matt would find it interesting. Go say hi to him. I was like, you know, Matt, I don't know him that well. You know, I've only met him a couple times.
Go say hi.
He loves us.
He does love us.
Luke loves us.
He was a player.
Yeah, he was playing for the Lakers.
He would come on regularly. We were the Lakers station. Luke was one of our regulars. He was like Justin Turner.
And I'd met him on multiple occasions.
Multiple.
I went over there.
And?
I don't know what he was looking at or who he thought I was.
He was hopped up on shrooms.
Whatever it was, he was gone in the face. And I was humiliated in front of people. So if I'm going to support Luke Walton and Luke Watch, that's good. That's fine.
You just want to make sure you mention that.
Just want to make sure I was humiliated publicly by Luke being prodded by Matt Smith at the Wiltern Theater at a Black Keys concert. Before the Black Keys were cool, you douchebags.
So, Kings of Leon, like, what's it like now that you've gone all mainstream? Because, you know, this record's not as good as the one that...
Can I grow my hair out again? Because I feel pretty stupid about this haircut.
Luke... Yes, the team was not prepared against the Knicks, and yes, they were not prepared against the Cavs. But as many folks have said today, Luke can't shoot them free throws. And if you're going to go to the line,
I told you about the free throws.
If you're going to go to the line and you're going to miss 11 of 27 free throws and go 16 of 27 from the line. And by the way, hey, Brez, you can have the Kuz bus. Happy that you invented the Kuz bus, and a lot of people are now coming around to Kyle Kuzma. Guess what? He ain't that great. All right? I'm sorry to break it to people.
You don't like traveling on a bus, Matt? You don't see everybody lining up to be on the RTD?
But the Kuzer is not that great. The guy is sub 30% from threes. He may score in bunches, but he ain't consistent. He'll have one good game, then he'll have a crap game, and then you look at his box score and you see what his plus minus looks like because he isn't guarding anybody, and he's not hitting on his threes, and he's taking eight of them, and he's making two. Sorry, that's not great. That's not the second best player on your team and a foundational piece that you can build around. Well, you know, I mean, yeah, LeBron and you got the Kuzer. And now a free agent's going to come over here, no question. No. No, they're not.
People have been trying to make this young core work.
Stop trying to make it happen.
Every time they get a win, it's over. Look at what they've done. They won two straight, and people were putting them in the playoffs without LeBron.
They're 3-7 without him. He is going to be reevaluated after the Bulls game. And word on the street is, if he comes back, he's going to come back out of desperation. Now, look, I know we get accused of being the Laker-hating show. That is not what I want this
to be. We're on Luke's side.
This is pro-Luke. That is the point of this conversation. The Lakers are currently 23-21. They are tied with the Jazz in the 8-hole. They are 3 games up on the number 14 team, Memphis. They are 3 games back of the 4. But here's the problem, and this is why I bring it up today, because Luke Watch is going to come into 4K Ultra HD focus. They have the 3rd hardest remaining schedule in the league. Now, they get the Bulls tomorrow. They better win that freaking game, because after the Bulls, they go to Oklahoma City. They're going to lose that fancy basketball game.
What about Lonzo and LeBlonzo?
They're going to go to Houston. They're going to, would you like to pick the way to describe the manner in which they're going to lose? Are they going to get their tees ripped off? Are they going to get their balls kicked in?
They're going to get their nipples chapped.
That they are going to get their nipples chapped. They better bring their Vaseline if they're going running, because the nipples are going to be bleeding. Then they get Golden State at home. a brief reprieve with Minnesota, who will probably win, and Phoenix. But then after that, Philadelphia, at Clippers, at Warriors, at Pacers, at Boston, at Philadelphia.
They're going to lose 80% of those fancy basketball games, and then they're going to be out of the playoffs.
Yes, that is holy hell. This team is going to be on pace to win 42 games and miss the playoffs if LeBron doesn't come back. So Utah, who is behind them, have the, again, Lakers, third tough. And I feel like we kind of know what teams are at this point. You know what teams are good, what teams aren't. So when you see that you have the third toughest remaining schedule, that's going to be a tough schedule because we're deep enough into the season to recognize, oh, these teams are good. The teams that they are playing against, when we list those off, Philadelphia, Boston, Indianapolis, Golden State, those are good teams that you're going to have to grind and probably catch some breaks to get a victory against. Utah has the 29th toughest schedule. In other words, the second easiest schedule. They're behind the Lakers right now, who are in the eight hole. San Antonio.
And they're surging.
23rd. So seventh easiest schedule. They're behind the Lakers in the standings right now. Portland, 21st. Clippers, 22nd. What we're saying is, if LeBron does not come back, it's going to be a lost season. And it's going to be a lost season for more than one reason. Because it's not just missing the playoffs in a year in which you signed LeBron.
And so you're not saying LeBron being out is not the reason for the lost season.
LeBron,
it's part of the reason.
It's part of the reason. The other part is your assets have now taken a giant hit in value. Assessed value is way down on Brandon Ingram, on Kyle Kuzma, on Lonzo Ball, on Jason Hart.
So the only guy I could think of when he was a young guy and nobody really expected so much, and then he started balling and he became an asset, is Eric Bledsoe, somebody that I remember when he was a Clipper, and it was like, damn, well, look at that.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, okay, yeah, now he's something, and they can make him, it can make something out of that guy, even if he's not going to be with that team long term, the Clippers.
And I bring
they haven't done that. None of these guys, they've all had terrible setbacks.
This is something.
Even Josh Hart.
This is something that Michael Lombardi said to us last week when we were talking about the Raiders and all those picks. And he says, look, do I like the deals for them? Yeah. But sooner or later, the picks have to become players. And that's when you judge whether or not they made the right move. When those picks are no longer picks, and that's the same thing here. When Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma and Jason Hart are old enough where they're no longer young players with untapped potential and high ceilings. And look, maybe they will thrive if you trade them somewhere and there are other teams that look at their skill sets and say, oh yeah, we can do something with Brandon Ingram with that length, with that ability to handle the ball. We can get him out of L.A. and turn him into what we believe is an all-star. But that is a lot tougher of a sell today than it was when reportedly Indiana, and this is going to all come back around to the Luke watch now, when Indiana reportedly was looking for one of them. Hey, we'll take B.I. or Lonzo, or we'll take a pick.
Now they want Zubats.
Now, and they decided, oh, no. See, we got this funny guy over here, this Magic Johnson, who's cracking jokes on Jimmy Kimmel Live about he and Paul George. Oh, I got his number.
Hey, funny man.
Why would I trade any of these guys when I'm just going to sign this dude in the offseason? You know what Paul George is doing right now? He's having an MVP season. He is having he is a top five player in the league. Two-way player. He's probably the second best two-way player to Kawhi Leonard right now in the league. And the reason you did not acquire him and rolled the dice that there was no chance that someone from freaking Palmdale was going to find comfort in Oklahoma City and stay there is because you didn't want to trade away one of the potential. And I get it. You don't want to trade away the future when it's unknown. And the Dodgers could have done that with Corey Seager or Cody Bellinger for Cole Hamels. And maybe they don't make it to back-to-back World Series. The point I'm making is Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka are more to blame for this than Luke Walton. If you want to point the finger at guys that had a deal for Paul George done that Indiana would have taken. There was a deal out there to be made. They valued the potential of their young players.
And now nobody wants those guys.
And now
they'd rather have TJ Leaf.
You don't think Paul George right now, and one of the things that the NBA is doing with their new NBA view stats, the VU hustle stats, Paul George is exactly what this team needs. Number one in loose balls, number three in deflections, number one in loose balls recovered. Number nine in contested threes. That's what this team needs. It needs a superstar to pair with LeBron James because the kids are not capable. And if they don't get it in free agency this offseason, it ain't going to be one of these dudes. It is not going to be Kuzma. It is not going to be Brandon Ingram. It is not going to be Lonzo Ball that jumps up and ascends to that position for a guy that's 34 and just got a groin injury that's going to keep him out for at least 10 games. It's already been 10 games.
We were talking
and maybe
about
15.
That with Don McLean on Friday, who filled in while you weren't doing your obstructions.
I was.
And Don and I have to agree, and I am not LeBron James, but I am over 34, and I did used to be a pretty darn good sprinter. And when one thing goes like that and you try to bring it back, you know, the opposite hamstring goes, and then the opposite calf of the opposite hamstring goes, and then you get that calf right and you get shin splints on the other side. It's something you have to work through. And like you said, this could be, before it's all said and done in the next month or so, a desperate situation for the purple and gold.
He is 34, I believe. I think LeBron is 34 years old. He played 82 games for the first time in his career last year. Played more minutes than ever in his career at 33. And now, perhaps, in the following season, he is feeling the ramifications of that. Not to mention playing into deep June again. The guy made it to 8 straight finals. He played more basketball than any other player in the NBA.
God, he's never hurt before he signed with the Lakers.
And now he's probably going to have to come back. I mean, look, he was having an MVP season when he was healthy, where the Lakers were, how well they played, how well he was playing. But again, that's the concern, is this supporting cast. And I don't know if they just fell apart because they're playing with LeBron, and things tend to happen to supporting cast when LeBron's with them and then he's not out there with them. They turn into the worst team in the league. But this is not on Luke. This is not a coaching issue. This is those dudes that everyone was excited about. Oh, man, I don't want LeBron. I want to grow with the kids.
But Luke will be the one to wear it.
Exactly.
No matter what is said on this show.
No question.
He will be the one that takes the indictment of these losses to the pocketbook.
And if I were Jeannie, I would hold firm, like she said when she was at Ballast Point with us.
For the Luke watch?
For the Luke watch. Luke is our coach. He will be here. And I'd fire Pelinka for signing a bunch of dudes.
Can't fire Pelinka. He's hooked in with Kobe.
Hey, you're fired, Pelinka, with your weird haircut. You're the one that signed a bunch of guys that can't shoot. And now you got the worst shooting team in a league that's now shooting.
Matt, you want Pelinka fired. You want Rosen fired. You're just shooting your gun off at everybody.
It's a new me in 2019. You gone. You beat it. You're going to fire Luke. Hell with that. Get out of here, Pelinka.
It is something you said when the season started, that nobody on the team can shoot. And they still cannot
shoot. They are terrible.
So this is what happens when you cannot shoot.
You lose basketball games.
I always said that LeBron's coming here to not compete for championships, but to hang out in L.A. and be LeBron in L.A. And that, I believe, was a little bit solidified when he showed up to a game holding a glass of red wine. I do feel like that...
That brings out the competitor.
Kind of verified what I was saying.
Don't want that wine to go. He doesn't have that little mosquito to keep the bottle fresh.
I have one of those. How could LeBron not have? I don't even drink wine. And I have one of those things.
Thanks, sweet.
How could LeBron not have one?
LeBron was playing at a very high level when he was healthy. The big concern there.
He's always going to play at a high level.
Exactly. You do a groin.
Until he's not.
You do a groin at 34 after playing, I don't know how long it's been, 16 years or something like that, and you might have some problems. And you might be a little concerned because the dudes that are out there can't shoot. And it was an embarrassment.
He's going to be out a month at least, right?
I think he's going to probably come back early because he's going to freak out. He's going to be like, what the hell? I can't miss the playoffs. There's absolutely zero chance.
Is that why Pelinka was pacing around like a dad in the 50s in the waiting room?
Ooh, good call.
With a pocket full of cigars?
I think so. He's freaking out, man. He's going to start showing some of them wrinkles on his forehead.
No. Hey, don't get crazy, brother. Maybe he'll just
double injection.
Maybe he'll get DirecTV and everything will change because everybody says he looks like Rob Lowe with cable.
A little bit he does. That's a good call.
We'll be right back with
more basketball. PMS.
Oh, we got the keyword. Sorry.
AM 570 LA Sports has your shot at $1,000. Now.
Let's do it right now.
Text the nationwide keyword JOCK to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. That's JOCK to 200-200.
All right. We'll be right back with Sam Amick, who had a sit-down with Luke Walton, who we don't blame.
Yeah, Amick. Petros and Money on AM 570 LA Sports. How about Sunday? We are your home of the NFC Championship game. We got Rams and Saints kickoff at noon. And also, we're your home for Super Bowl 53, like we've been your home for the NFL all season long. Looking forward to that one. A rematch between the Saints and the Goats, and it's happening Sunday at noon. You'll get it right here on AM 570 LA Sports. And remember, you can join us Wednesday, 3 to 7 p.m. We'll be at BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse in West Covina. Get your opportunity to win tickets to see the Clippers and Warriors play and the opportunity to high-five the Clippers before the game. That is BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. We'll be there again this Wednesday, 2017 Eastland Center Drive in West Covina.
What's popping with Luke Walton? A lot of people want to know. They want to know about Luke Watch. They want to know, how's it going? Is it Luke's fault? Is Luke to blame? Does Luke get the credit? What about when Luke coached the Warriors? What about Luke? What about great
Warriors big?
I'll tell you what happened when Luke coached the Warriors.
Warriors big.
He set a record.
Every night.
Every damn night.
That's right. But Matt, I know what you think. You always have that button to play. What about
every damn night?
Every day, I know what you think. But what about Amick? Amick knows. Let's on the Chevy it. Silverado Celebrity Hotline. Joining us right now from the great Athletic, one of the coolest websites in the history of the world. He jumped off that free paper, USA Today, straight to the Athletic. It's Sam Amick on PMS. What's cracking, Sam? How are you?
Gentlemen, doing great. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it, as always.
Now, there's no doubt that, I mean, anybody can write an article and make Luke Walton seem likable, because he's a likable guy from an interesting family with a really cool background. But you really dug deeper than that. I mean, how hard is this for him? How tough of an assignment for any NBA coach, let alone a young guy, is this?
He is challenging. What I was trying to do, and I think he and I honestly kind of did a little bit together, is to almost paint that picture of how he's got this two-track existence right now, which is to say that, listen, big picture, being Luke Walton is not too bad at all. You know, you make good money, you got a good life, you got a great family, you're going to be just fine. But as far as his career and his aspirations to be a top-level NBA coach for a long time, this is super challenging because, you know, LeBron James brings with him just an entire different level of pressure because of who he is. And then you have, you know, 2+ years already kind of invested when it comes to this young core, the Brandon Ingrams, Lonzo Balls, Kyle Kuzma, Josh Harts, all those guys, and trying to get them into their next stage as NBA players, trying to then, you know, meld and mesh that thing together. And then, oh, by the way, deal with just a pretty rough run of injuries. I know, you know, getting banged up is part of the game and every team has its stuff. But you're talking LeBron, Rondo, Beasley being gone for a long time, you know, Kuzma, so and Brandon too. So all those things together, and then, oh, by the way, you've got a new boss in Magic Johnson, who by all accounts is pretty intense and always kind of breathing down your neck. So I think, you know, as far as NBA jobs go, it is the kind of the most pressure-packed one out there right now.
Sam, we were getting into this a little bit earlier. They are about to go in after this Bulls game to a nasty stretch. And if you just look at strength of schedule remaining season, I think they're third toughest go. And that may be, who knows how many games without LeBron James. But if he can't make it through this stretch that includes road games at Boston and Philly and Golden State and another one back here against Golden State, I think they're at Houston. I mean, this is a nasty run. Is it that dire? I mean, for a team that is absolutely determined to make the playoffs, if they have another 3-7 stretch, is his job in trouble?
You know, the tea leaves are hard to read right now. I had, you know, very direct kind of intel as of Wednesday of last week that when it comes to the idea of Magic and Rob Pelinka pressuring Jeannie Buss to get rid of Luke, as of that time, that was not the case, had not been the case. My thing is this, you know, I go back to, training camp when I talked to Jeannie for a long time. I think I talked to you guys at that time about that story. And, you know, she flat out said in terms of expectations that, you know, it'll be nice to be back in the playoffs again. And so my read on it would be this, you know, around the league, people still think that they likely won't make a move on Luke until the offseason. That, you know, Magic himself came out and said, barring anything drastic, you know, Luke is fine to the end of the season. If they hypothetically found themselves 3-4 games out of playoff position with, you know, a couple months to go, I honestly think it very possibly could kind of go over the threshold and then become a situation where Jeannie ends up greenlighting a change, because the notion of this team not getting in the playoffs. Now, and that's what the idea that LeBron would have, you know, come back for a long stretch If he stays out for whatever reason, then it's a different calculus. But I just think getting to the playoffs is a major, major priority.
As Matt Money Smith said, a fireside chat in the rain with Sam Amick on the Petros and Money Show from The Athletic. He had a great sit down with Luke Walton. Very interesting stuff that's coming out of it. But, I mean, Sam, you've dealt with all kinds of NBA coaches at all kinds of different points of their career with all kinds of different leverage. Is, oh, we won't make a change till the end of the year unless things are drastic. Is that, does that make anybody feel good? I mean, that's not an endorsement. What happened to all the smiles and the love and everything?
No, it's not at all. I mean, it's also the reality. You know, again, big picture, I don't feel bad for any of these people. They're doing great. But in terms of the discomfort that comes with your daily routine and your job, it's not enviable, because the reality is that Magic and Rob didn't hire Luke. I don't think anybody can blame them for having their own, you know, objective thoughts about the way the team is being run, how they see Luke as a coach. Maybe sitting there kind of in the background figuring out if it wasn't him, who might it be in terms of possible next coach. I get all that. But it always, every time this happens, and it's well beyond just hoops, you know, baseball, football, everything, it's just there's a discomfort that comes with that because the fans will find themselves getting attached to certain people. And I do, you know, Luke definitely has a lot of detractors right now, but he has a lot of supporters too. And so from ownership to management on down, they're trying to figure out, A, how is the team getting run? B, what are the realistic expectations that we should hold this person to? And then C, you got to read the room and figure out how unpopular or popular is a possible move going to be. Those are all the things that I think are constantly getting analyzed right now. And I don't even think people on the inside really have a great read on it. I mean, last night, because it was such a bad loss to Cleveland, it was one of those nights where I'm checking in with different people to just kind of make sure, like, they're not going to drop the hammer tonight, are they? And and what you got back was a lot of kind of, I'm not sure, I don't know. You know, I think clarity is tough to come by right now.
Sam, in terms of, you know, when you look at the roster, Luke can only coach the players he was given. And it was mentioned that this team had no shooting, that Rob and Magic, for whatever reason, decided not to surround LeBron James with shooters, but players that are good with the ball in their hands, which made little sense. And that is now proving to be an issue, as this team can't shoot. I start with that, and then I flip it to the kids that were here before and the fact that they can't shoot. And did Magic and Rob, A, make a mistake with their free agent signings, and then B, overvalue the guys they had in-house? Because I don't think they're getting anywhere near what they may have been able to get in the offseason for Brandon Ingram or Kyle Kuzma or Lonzo Ball. Is their flaws continue to be exposed?
Yeah, Matt, I'm with you 100%. I think that's the twofer right now that is so tough on the Lakers. Not only are you dropping games that you know you should win, but you are then having this tough ripple effect of value going in the tank at the wrong, you know, just the worst possible time. You got the trade deadline coming up less than a month. Let's say conceivably, you know, to my knowledge, they haven't made any sort of aggressive push for Anthony Davis, but let's say they change their mind and they want to put everything on the table to go get AD. Well, right now, you know, the Pelicans GM, Del Demps, is looking at this young core and thinking, man, you can give me the whole thing and that wouldn't be enough. You can give me Kuz and Lonzo and Josh and, you know, and everybody and Brandon. And what am I looking at? I'm looking at a team that can't beat the Cavs. So that's killing them right now. And the shooting part is this kind of circular debate where, I mean, yes, admittedly, I fall in the camp. It's not about liking Luke. It's about analyzing the situation. You went out and drafted guys who struggle to shoot the ball, and you sign guys in free agency that struggle to shoot the ball for the most part. And lo and behold, look at this. You're struggling to shoot the ball. And the free throws in particular, you know, I tweeted something last night, like, is it the coaching staff's fault that they've been shooting 65% since LeBron went down on Christmas Day from the charity stripe? And sure enough, today at practice, that's all they were doing early on in practice is shooting free throws. So great. I guess that's what you have to do. But my goodness, like, isn't it, you know, reasonable to expect pros? You know, I understand if you're like an Andre Drummond type or a DeAndre Jordan, those are the outliers. But this is a bunch of wings who can't shoot free throws. I haven't seen anything like it.
Sam Amick is brilliant when it comes to basketball and many other things, of course. And we love having him. He is from The Athletic. Last thing for you, and it's a, I don't know, maybe hindsight, but for those during the summer that were saying LeBron's move to the Lakers is a pivot away from championships and kind of more of a about his image and all this stuff. It seems like the team is struggling on paper or on the court like they were going to on paper when people looked at it to start the season.
No, for sure, Petros. I mean, I think that's where, from a human standpoint, these next 6 months get really interesting. Because if you talk to people about LeBron, one of the themes that, even though he's happy being in L.A. and all the family stuff that comes with it, the off-the-court stuff, that's all great. I wonder, in LeBron's heart of hearts, like, you know, how frustrated he is. Because that word is what you keep hearing over and over again, that he, even on the inside, you know, he has a hard time kind of containing that frustration. Tyson Chandler has gotten a ton of credit from a lot of different people for being a guy who's kind of keeping the spirits high. LeBron is looking around like, man, you young guys need to figure it out. And then I do think that he probably believes that they need to go out and get him some help. So that urgency is still there. And, yeah, this is a team that, you know, that people wrote columns going into the season saying they would struggle to make the playoffs. And in fact, one in particular, buddy of mine, Tim Bontemps, at the time was at the Washington Post. He got killed for it. And he's not wrong. You know what I mean? Like, this team won 35 games last year. LeBron's fantastic. But if he gives you a 15-game bump, then even that is a 50-win team. That's not championship caliber.
The great Sam Amick. You can follow him on Twitter at Sam_Amick, A-M-I-C-K. Subscribe to The Athletic. A great piece on Luke Walton and all of the turns this season has taken already. And we are not even at the trade deadline. And certainly, I would assume, many more to come. Sam, we always appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Sam. We'll be right back. We're going to put that
fire up.
Duraflame. Stomp it out. There.
It's kind of cool. Yeah, a rainy day, you like to start a fire.
A little fire going.
Sit by there, you know.
Phonograph.
A couple of hot cocoa. Going.
We were listening to
a little bit of scoop of some marshmallow cream in there.
Betsy Smith on the phonograph.
Now we're talking.
Very nice. Hope you're having a nice evening.
I was listening to FDR's Fireside Chats, actually, on vinyl.
We'll be right back on more. Some of it is dated. We'll be back with more great sports talk on more of the
energy,
topics.
Energy, my man!
Yeah. On more of the topics that you want us to talk about with Mark Schlereth next hour. PMS on AM570 LA Sports.
Petros and Money on AM570 LA Sports. Grand in your hand. That's right. 20 after the hour from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. for the keyword. Once you hear it, text 200-200. If you get a call back, pick up the phone. You can win $1,000. We'll start that again tomorrow at 6 a.m. This is our new time slot. It is the new old time slot. 3 to 7 p.m. live. Petros and Money coming up after the top of the hour. We're only going until 6:30 tonight, but it will be a live half hour. Mark Schlereth is going to join us after we get through a couple quick hits and your fun facts, so stick around for that.
Your dead guy, Matt, one of the lost generation, John Dos Passos, meaning two times Dos Passos. Double up. From Chicago, literary giant, spent most of his childhood in Europe as he was born a bastard.
He was a bastard.
But educated, went to Harvard, Choate and Harvard. Was an expert.
Not a bastard, don't go to Harvard.
In art and literature, BFFs with E.E. Cummings. In fact, he and E.E. drove a bambulance during World War I.
It's a big deal.
The Red Cross.
I think it's probably pretty busy.
A lot of death, despair. Hung out a lot in France with Ernie Hemingway during the time of the Lost Generation. He is most known for his American trilogy, USA trilogy, that was made throughout the 30s. The Big Money, 42nd Parallel, Manhattan Transfer, using newspaper clippings, realism, all kinds of different experimental techniques in writing. Dos Passos was also a longtime painter, beautiful paintings. He did the whole Spanish Civil War thing, like all the writers of that time, George Orwell and Ernie Hemingway, but he went out there and said, "You guys are shilling for Joe Stalin? I'm out of here."
Weirdos. And
later in life, he shilled a little for Dick Nixon and Barry Goldwater.
Okay.
42
better,
novels.
Better than Stalin.
Hey, sure. 400 paintings, poems, essays. Neil Peart writes about John Dos Passos in about five or six different songs.
A real puzzle you put together on the life of him.
John Dos Passos.
A live guy. Happy 71st, Joseph Henry Burnett. The third, T-Bone. Give me a little of that crazy heart.
Oh, good. Great producer.
The best. One of the best. Won a Grammy for this one. Jeff Bridges, the Weary Kind, from Crazy Heart. Born in St. Louis, raised in Fort Worth, his pops chased the pro athlete dream, had a cup of coffee with the Brooklyn Dodgers. So did T-Bone, as a matter of fact. Was a standout golfer, went to TCU to play golf.
Oh, fear the frog!
Fell in love with music. His buddy, Stephen Bruton, was the son of a jazz drummer who owned the record store on campus. They hung out, turned him onto bluegrass. They would sneak into clubs to feed their passion. Dropped out of TCU, started garage bands, wrote and produced his first song, Free Soul, under the name John T-Bone. And he then became a great kind of do-everything producer. Played drums, played guitar, arranged, made records.
If it wasn't for him, I don't think bluegrass would be as prevalent today.
No question.
And so many people that enjoy, like, kind of a lost form of American music. But it's not lost now. And you have these fake-ass Mumford & Sons type bands that kind of keep the tradition going.
His 1986 solo record. In 1980, he released his first solo album, Truth Decay, followed by a release on Warner Brothers, which is the one they point to as very similar to the soundtrack for Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, which really got the bluegrass thing going. That thing sold 8 million copies. Emmylou Harris, Alison Krauss, Ralph Stanley, Gillian Welch, all of them performing those traditional American folk and blues songs. It won the Academy Award for Best Soundtrack.
Don't forget about the Soggy Bottom Boys.
Soggy Bottom
Where's
Boys.
Soggy Bottom Boys?
Let's get it, Cates. Can we get the little bit of the Soggy Bottom Boys?
I'm a Man of Constant Sorrow.
I am a Man of Constant Sorrow. Real quick, can we get that? There we go. Now, this is T-Bone as well. He's the one that worked with Joaquin Phoenix and Reese Witherspoon for their roles as Johnny and June Carter Cash. Witherspoon, of course, won the Oscar for that role. He is one of the best. And again, the Crazy Heart. If you've never listened to that soundtrack, it is fantastic.
That's good. And the thing he did in Brooklyn for the
Llewellyn Davis.
Yeah, the Llewellyn.
Was his
that with Lake Street Dive and the Avets and Gillian Welch is all over that. Yep. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff.
He also now does the music for True Detective.
Oh, his. So, did you watch that last night?
I got to watch it when I get home. Did not watch it. Watching it tonight. No spoilers.
I wish I didn't have to watch The Bachelor.
No spoilers.
Well, I think it's about police work. Spoiler alert.
I think you're wrong. I think you are wildly misinformed on that.
Quick Hits coming up next. Hey, F you, man. I've been in trouble. No pleasure here.